Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Poe Franz, owner of Franz Games. I'm an SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just when our join us, we have Talkcast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the Talk's website at www.talkshoe.com and search for quality 17702 or search for Starfleet Universe On Call. Either one, you'll find us. Or you can do even better than that. If you want to watch my wonderful face and you want to participate in the chat room, I'd suggest going over to twitch.tv/FFUOnCall. That's where I will be co-broadcasting. Also, on TalkShoe, mainly on audio and video, is going to go over twitch.tv. So just go to twitch.tv/FFUOnCall and you can join us there. And of course, this lovely Talkcast gets turned into a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Also, a reminder that if you want to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, you'll follow me on Twitter. My Twitter account there is sfuoncall. Also, I have a personal account also called Paul France, PAULFRENZ. There's no T in that. And just a warning that if you want to follow me there, that's great. I love to have the followers. But I was going to say rabid Catholic, but I'm a very, rabid Catholic. I'm definitely a rabid O's fan. And also, I love tech. So if any of those things bother you, don't follow me. And of course, if you want to follow what's going on with Franz Games, that's, you know, my business, just follow the Twitter account, Franz Games. It's very low, you know. I might post one post maybe every 3 months or something like that, so it's not really a busy one. So if you want to have a nice light feed, you know, that's a good one to add. So going on to the news from ADB, not much going on there, but the number one thing there is Gene is back. I can't wait to see what happens with the Federation and Empire Advanced Ops. See how much purple ink gets spread on that poor, unadulterated paper. And of course, moving on to the SFB Online tournament, the Sapphire Star 12 tournament has started. We have 16 players, and I have the pleasure of playing against Jeff Clark, who's actually, he's in Tokyo, Japan, which is awesome. Of course, that should make time difference interesting, though. He did send me an email telling me that he would love if I could, for me, it'd be like 5 o'clock, him would be 8 o'clock in the morning. He would like that, you know, that would work out great for him, which I think would be fantastic for me. I just have to find a good day of the week to do that with. Definitely not Friday, possibly Saturday. I don't think Sunday will work, but we'll just have to wait and see. Definitely not Halloween. I just remembered Monday's Halloween, so definitely not going to do it then. Which would be interesting, you know. But anyway, when it comes to the library, not much going on there. So with that is the news for this week. Hey, it is me. Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, it's me, and you got Jeff, and I hope that I'm not freaking people out at the moment, because I just realized that my face is a heck of a lot larger than it normally is. I apologize for if you're not used to seeing me so large for those people who are watching the video. This is a new setup. I'm still working out the details and getting things working, so I'm not sure if I got the lighting quite right, because I see that I'm still a little white at the moment. I could actually try to turn it down, but okay, let's see how that works. Okay, I'll see how that works. No, I don't like that. I'm going to turn it back up, because I see the bridge of my eyes are very dark, and so that's why I need the extra light. That's why I turned it on, the extra light to begin with. But anyway, Anyhow, sorry to talk so much about me, especially for those people who are on the podcast going, man, this is freaking boring. You know, why is he just talking about the video and I can't see it? Warning, you might want to watch the video on this one. I think I'll be able to do okay. And if you have module T2012, you will be golden. And the reason I say that is because tonight, what we're going to do is at least, and hopefully I can get some feedback from Jeff and other people in the peanut gallery, which is I want to talk about the alternate tournament cruisers. I don't think I've ever talked about them before. Haven't gone through them. I know I've mentioned them, but I don't think I've ever gone through them. So that is going to be the topic for this evening. So moving onward to that, actually, let me bring up this. The first one I'm going to bring up is not quite an alternate anymore. This was previously, I'm not sure, be honest, at the moment, I'm not sure if it's a fully, you know, blessed tournament ship, but I feel pretty confident in saying that it is. And that is the, wrong button. Let me just double check. Yep. Wrong button. I'm sorry. I'm still getting used to it back. Oh, my Lord. This is not looking good. I apologize. Jeez. This is awful, 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 awful. Okay, let's see if I can. Actually, let me do that. Give me a sec here, folks. Because I want to see if I can adjust this. I'm going to switch over to this one. Doing that, and why is it? Oh man, okay. I know what the problem is. Oh crap.
And please stand by for technical difficulties.
Thank you very much. Yeah, because the desktop is very, yeah. No, scale window. Yeah, that'd be a scale window. Okay. Oh, this is awful. I okay. I'm just gonna see if I can properties. That's still going to be awful. Oh, I hate this.
Yeah. See if you can't resize the pane to take up the screen you're actually showing.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Okay. I'll leave it like that at the moment. It's not great, but it will make do for this evening. That's one thing, obviously, because I switched from my desktop to my laptop, the screen size is a little different. So it might be an issue with OBS for this laptop. I'll work on it later. Yeah, that's about right. Jeff's mentioning how Twitch is running on 5 to 10 seconds behind. Yeah, that's about right. Because of the sound is direct, and then we have OBS, which is redirected to Twitch and then bounced. So it's going to be a little delayed. But anyhow, moving onward and forward, this is the Jindarian Light Tournament Cruiser. Now, currently, it's actually available for tournament play. I'm not sure if that's a permanent thing or not. I think it is. And Lord knows, basically, this ship sucks. And that's why I think they're gonna let it be, considered a blessed tournament ship for use with rated ace tournaments, and it's gonna be a valid ship that if you want to fly, you can try, but you'll die. This is why I say that. The biggest issue here that the Zendaya Light Cruiser has is that the Margs, even though they're actually Margs are fairly powerful, the million rail guns go from, they basically out to range 10, they can do 10 points of damage per, and it's 1 to 5 to hit. Problem is the arcs. You only can fire 2 Margs at a target at a time. So, it's the whole Andromedan issue all over again. And that is, you can't get enough firepower against a single shield at a single time. And that's why, when the Andromedans first, when they nerfed it and changed it from TR heavies to TR lights, it made it impossible to fly. Next to impossible to win in. Right now, it's difficult just because of they did correct one thing with Andromedans, which is they decreased the number of batteries, which is the key there. But if you notice here, okay, so you got the 4 Margs, each one with their own arc, which is, okay, you got A, which is left plus left front, B, right front right, C, which is left rear, and D, right rear. So in any arc, you can get a maximum of 2 Margs. Directly in front, you can get 2. To the right side, you can get 2. To the left side, you get 2. Directly rear, you can get 2. Notice I said directly rear and directly front. So there is, in the FA arc, most of the FA arc, you only can get 1. So, it's got a decent number of phasers. It's got 6 phaser 1s and 2 phaser 3s, which is not bad. It's still a little light in the armament category, especially because I think it really needs 8 phaser 1s, but it only has the 6.
Looks like it would be bait for drones with so few phaser 3s.
You can get away with it. That is possible. It's a 2/3 movement ship, so in theory it should be able to move around. I'm not sure about, I forget what the charging cost for a Marg is. No sound on Twitch? Okay, hold on. This would be awful. Okay, I got that going. And let me just, don't mind me, guys. So I'm going to do this. And I'm going to do this. And just make sure that when it comes to that, I've got, I got the mixer going. It looks good. Okay. Da-da-da. Brave of me. Properties looks good. Okay. And according to the audio mixer, I'm getting sound. Okay. Testing. Oops, wrong one. There's the right one. I gotta fix that one. Okay. Okay, that's recording. That's recording. Okay. Still no sound? This is good. Yeah, that's possible. Okay. Okay. So Dave says that the sound's working good now. So I'm going to let things go. I apologize for the brief interruption for those technical difficulties. Okay. Moving onward. Oops. Hey, Jeff, you back?
Yep.
Okay. I just noticed that you were muted, so which means usually you got dropped and you came back. Okay. But anyhow, shields-wise, the Jandorian is fine. Power, I'm not quite sure about because I'm just double-checking here. And you got 32 warp. You've got 32
24 warp. Warp.
24, you're right, 24.
You get...
8 times 3.
Yeah, 3 8 box engines.
Right. And then you have, so you got 24 plus 4 APR is 28. And you got 2 impulse for a total of 30 points of power. I'm not sure if Marks. Okay, da 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 da. Do they cost anything? I think they. Two. I thought they cost like two warp or something like that. I'd have to double check on that one. It's been a while since I've played the Jandarians. Jeez, it's been years. So I apologize for not knowing the Margs. But I still feel like that the. How could you correct this? You might have to do something. Let me think. Jeez. What I would think is that you have to have at least 3 Margs in ARC. So given that, the Margs would have to be adjusted. The location would need to be adjusted, in my mind. So, and give them, let me think about this. Way I see it is you need to give them 180 degrees. It's thinking. Yeah.
You'd probably be better off putting the 2 in the front as FA plus the appropriate side arc.
No.
And then put the 2 in the back as RA plus the appropriate side arc.
No, all that does is guarantees you have 2 for every angle. What you need.
Well, if you do that, you can get 3. You can get 3 on the oblique approaches coming, approach and departure angles. If you're on the number 6 or number 1, you can go 3.
Yeah, the Wargs. Oh man, 20 point. Oh, these are nasty little buggers. But yeah, you got a point there. You got a point there. I'm just wondering if that's enough, to be honest. But maybe that'd be enough to juice it a little bit. What the heck was that? I don't know what that was. That was weird. But anyhow. Onward and forward. Yeah, I think the Jandarian definitely needs to be worked on.
The MRG takes 2 points of power on 2 consecutive turns to arm. It does not require warp power.
Okay.
I think the warp variant does.
Right, the Wargs.
Oh, wait a minute. It's not. You can do it with reserve warp power. I'm sorry. I'm reading. I'm reading this quickly on a small screen.
Oh, understood. Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense that you could start it with 2 points of energy.
Right. But it's, yeah, it is warp power you need for that.
You need warp power for the wargs or the margs?
Yeah.
Which
one? Medium rail guns require 2 points of warp power to arm on each of two consecutive turns. It can be fired on the second turn. First turn's arming energy can be allocated or provided by reserve warp power. So, yeah, that's page 147 of the Master Handbook.
That makes no sense. The second can be, you can use reserve power on the second turn. Is that what it said?
The first turn's arming energy can be allocated or provided from reserve warp power, but the weapon cannot be fired until 8 impulses. You know, this is basically like photons in that respect.
Right.
I just paraphrased through it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, understood. I totally understand that. And that makes complete sense, which means this is definitely weak when it comes to warp. The APRs definitely should be AWRs at the very least, and possibly even give it some more power from there so that it can actually have a decent amount of speed. Because the only thing that's going to save its butt, given the armament, is speed. That's the only one of those things that the Andromedan has that it can do. Obviously, the one thing you can do, but it's pointless, which is you can put the Marg in defensive mode to shoot down drones, but then you don't have it for the offensive. You know? So, I personally think that needs quite a bit of work to actually have it so it's a reasonable ship to fly. I have to think about that some. Next ship that I'm bringing up is the Orion Termit Heavy Cruiser. Obviously, for those who are familiar with the Orion CA, the Heavy Cruiser, it's very much like that. Obviously, it has some limitations because it's a Termit Cruiser, meaning that for the C rack and the D rack, which are side racks, you'd only have either a Phaser 1, a Drone rack, or a Fusion. And for the E and F, which are also the other two side racks, you can only have a drone rack or a plasma D rack. So, to say the very least, and it has two front FA arc weapons. Yep. So, obviously, it can have lots of drones if you want. The thing is about this ship, of course, is compared to the Battle Raider, that's the Termit Cruiser, current Termit Cruiser, it's got more power because you got 30 warp plus 4 impulse, so you got 34 power. This is without doubling, and no APRs, right? Right. So it's got 34 power, and then if you double it, you've got 68 power for at least for one turn.
Also don't have a cloak.
I don't think you want to try to do a cloak on this one.
Well, that's the primary difference between the two designs. They said, well, if the Orion doesn't take a cloak, can we take a bigger ship? And that's what this is.
Right. Right. And it's got, still has the four phaser threes, which are pretty comparable. Not quite to the BRs because it's left rear, two of them, and the other two are right rear. So it's not quite as good as the Battle Raider when it comes to that kind of defenses. But it's got the four facing forward arc phaser ones. So it's pretty chill when it comes to the number of phaser ones. So in theory, if you could make this into a pretty nasty phaser boat, if you wanted to. Man, But definitely limit does it's quite a bit of limitations. Because I'm thinking of if you wanted to have hellbores or photons, you can have like one hellbore and one photon. Woo! Not exactly the best, but definitely more of a beast when it comes to reinforcement. Because if he ever ever face an opponent where this is has all the engines and doubled for that one turn, there's no way you're gonna get through him. And definitely one of the tactics you can easily see with this one is one what the Win Aux box does, which is drones come in hot and heavy, tractor your opponent, launch six drones, then launch another six drones. You know, after he, as he.
Ah, yes, the traditional Zinti anchor.
Exactly. And I think this ship could do it actually quite well, given the amount of power it's got, because it can easily beat any other opponent when it comes to power.
And not to mention, it could also brick your return alpha.
Yeah, that's always going to be the gotcha with the ship. That is, if you go and double, you double everything, how much do you actually put in to how much do you actually put into the tractor versus reinforcement? Because, do you put like only 15 or 20 into reinforcement? Or sorry, 15 or 20 into tractor, and you put like 10 into reinforcement, because the thing is, after you tractor them, you got to survive the punch that they're going to give you.
Yeah.
So that can be, you can end up in a very difficult situation with that. But, I definitely think it's a viable ship. Some of the limitations I don't like, when it comes to the optional weapons, because I definitely think they're more limited than the Battle Raider. But of course, the Battle Raider
Well,
also
the
is.
Orions have always been hard to balance in that regard.
Oh, agreed. And especially in this case, it's a tournament. So there are certain other limitations that you have in addition to the normal limitations of just being an Orion. Yes, you can double in tournament, Chris. Yeah, you always can. Always could. When it comes to the Orions, that's part of being an Orion. Of course, with the Orions, when you double the engines, each engine that you double, you have to go, okay, box gone. And that's one thing I don't know for this ship, to be honest. And that is the impulse engines. They show them as two separate set of boxes, but I'm not sure if that's still considered one impulse engine. Or is it two impulse engines? So I don't know about that. That makes a big difference, obviously, when you're doubling. So if you double, four impulse, you be down to either two or three. Makes a big difference when it comes to power. But that's also obviously the difficulty with having Orion CA, which is you have three engines. So if you double three engines, there's three boxes marked off. But at the same time, you also got 30 power versus 24 power to start off with. So, it can be.
Of course, that also means that if you ration your engine doubling individually, you get a little longer field endurance with it. It's like using the smaller battery arrays with Maulers. You don't have to turn around and dump all the power all at once. You can dial it in for what you need.
Right. I have to double check. Well, In the Andromedans, I'm pretty sure for the Mauler, you actually have to dump each battery.
I was referring to the galactic Maulers.
Yeah.
They always have groups of five and then a couple of ones so that you can dial it in.
Right. That's what I meant. I was pointing out, which is for the groups, because my understanding said you have to dump all the energy in that group. I wasn't sure if that was Andromedan only or that's all Maulers. Okay.
Yep, well, it's all Maulers, and I think the Andromedan Maulers have to drop all the power in an individual battery box, whether or not they're coupled to other battery boxes or not. So if you've got 3 points in one battery, you can expend that battery on the shot. Mm-hmm. But I'd have to go looking at that myself.
Okay, moving on, running forward. The Hydran Tartar. Yes, that's his Tartar. Tournament Cruiser, which is, of course, quite interesting in that it's a Hydran ship with no fighters. It's a 2/3 movement cost ship. It's got two phaser ones, four phaser twos, and two phaser Gs, and three Hellbores. No fusions. Interesting ship. Turn mode B, so it can keep things moving around quite nicely. Let's look at this. Look at the power on this thing. We got 24 warp and 6 APR, so it makes it 30. And 4 impulse, 34. Wow. Ooh, geez. 34 minus 9 is 25. Minus 4 is... Okay. 34 minus 9. Yeah. 34 minus 9 is 25. Minus 5 is 21. 21. You move speed 30. You just don't have anything, no reinforcement, but you can move speed 30 and actually charge all your Hellbores. That's good. Obviously, the one. Yeah, has the seven shield, you know, the hull. And of course, the great thing about this ship is that there's no fusions. So you're not going to lose, using a Mizzy attack, you're not going to lose like half your weapons really quick, because of if it hits the torpedo, it's going to go from torpedo to phaser. Okay. You have plenty of phaser twos. Now, here's, of course, the gotcha with phaser twos. Phaser twos, and okay, there it is. From over there, I was wondering where the chart was. If you ever, for any of you who's actually looked at the Phaser 2 chart, because I'm sure a lot of people have got the Phaser 1 chart memorized, Phaser 3 chart memorized. Phaser 2, I've got, for the most part, memorized because that's what the Andromedans use. They don't use Phaser 1s, they use Phaser 2s. It's a simulation of what a Phaser 2, it's a simulation of a weapon, and they choose Phaser 2 as most closely matched of what the weapon damage is by the Andromedans. Now, given that, phaser twos, the maximum damage is 6 points, 6 points of damage versus a phaser one.
And that's only at point blank range.
Right. And phaser one, of course, is 9, the point blank, maximum point blank range is 9. Now, point blank range, same time. The good aspect to phaser twos versus phaser ones, it's only one thing, which is the minimum damage is 5 points. Minimum damage for a phaser one is 4. So if you roll really poorly, you're in trouble. And with the phaser twos, it's 5.5 is the average, because 1, 2, 3, that's 6 points of damage. 4, 5, 6, that's 5 points of damage. Phaser ones is 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. So yeah, overall the average damage is going to be higher, which makes sense. But of course, if you roll poorly, you're going to do better with Phaser 2s, as weird as that might sound. Wow.
Chris, as long as you're inside range 3, that's true.
Yeah, Chris was mentioning how the Hydra only has 16 hull versus the Jindarin, which has 22. So the Jindarin can take a little more of a beating, which is good to see. At least they have some advantage. And obviously, the issue with having only, they only have 2 phaser 1s and 4 phaser 2s. You're not going to get as nearly as much damage at range 8, which is where people like this. That's when start getting overloaded range, that's when people like to get the additional hit. In the case of phaser 1s, okay, range 5 is a sweet number. You want a sweet number when it comes to phaser 2s, range 3. Range 3 gets a little bit close. Now, when it comes to the Andromedans, range 3, mwah, magnifique. That's, well, what can I say? You know, when it comes to the Andromedans, TR beams, the max damage range is 0 to 3. You know, so that seems to match it just beautifully. You know, obviously, for TR beams, 4 and 5 is also pretty decent range. After that, then it goes downhill. But anyhow, so the Hydrants doesn't look that bad. I would love, the tough part, obviously, with this Hydrant is going to be, if you ever try, I really feel like you wouldn't want to try to overload all the Hellbores at one shot. In theory, you can do it, but you're not moving very fast. So if you got your opponent cornered, yes, you're gonna shunt all that energy from movement, put it into the Hellbores, overload all 3 Hellbores, and then kind of slink away. I'm not so sure when you're putting forth 18 points of power into your Hellbores. Out of your 34, you have 16 left. Minus 4, that's 12 points of power left. 12 points of power, your maximum speed is 18. Now, obviously, when it comes to speed, you can have it up and then do a mid-turn speed change to get below 18. But, you know, that means you might start at like 24 and then decrease it down to 12 at some point. So, or use all your batteries and just say, I'm all in. You know, I think it's one of those times that you would probably only do it is for a killing blow. Because unless you hit with all those Hellbores, because I understand they're 2d6, which means the greater probability when it comes to even out to range 8, which is a hit of 8, which gives you the mighty 7, which is the most probable die roll you'll get with 2d6, and everything else below it. But still, you can miss. Now, obviously, if you're the range 0 or 1. And the thing is, here's the funny part, and I know people who have actually done this, which is there are those people who've actually missed at range 0 with the Hellbore. They rolled 2d6, and they rolled 6 on both of them. So,
yes, I will admit that one time while flying a squadron of Iroquois, I threw a freight train on my overloaded Hellbores. It was not pretty.
No.
It was, okay, I concede.
I'm dead.
Yeah, by the time I get back into firing position with these things reloaded, you're going to have chewed the heck out of me.
Yeah, you're going to completely tear me up. Yep. I totally agree. So while we move on to the next one, which is the IC Tournament Medium Cruiser, which is interesting by itself. It's got only 4 phaser 1s. It's got 4 phaser 3s. sorry, six phaser ones. I missed the two 360s right in the middle there. So six phaser ones. Got two plasma Gs, which is interesting if you think about it, and a PPD.
And four Fs.
And, of course, the four Fs, which are, of course, limited due to them being defensive plasma Fs. You know, they only can fire at an actual ship once every turn, versus if you're fighting against, like, fighters. If you want to, you can blow away the fighters by, well, the only that's kind of funny. If you think about it, yeah, okay, I want to launch all four of my plasmas at the two fighters that are out there. You know, yeah, they will die if you launch all four. But if you launch one per, nope. Because the fighter, you know, because the only fighters that are in the tournament game are, of course, the hydrogen fusions. You know, sorry, not the fusions. The hydrogen fighters, Stinger 2s. Which have the fusions, but has a Gatling phaser. So it can kind of shred it pretty well. But, you know, it has those defensive plasmas, which is good. And, of course, the interesting part about this ship is that it has two plasma Gs and a PPD, which is, if I recall correctly, let me just see if I can find it real quick. Which I'm pretty sure is the same thing. There it is. You got the two plasma Gs on the regular tournament cruiser and a PPD, but this has more internals, and obviously more power because this is a two-thirds movement cost ship. And you look at the total. It's got four forward hull and eight rear hulls. So this thing won't be taking damage all that well. When you start beating on it, it's going to crumble. Which is, I think that's the point of the medium cruiser to begin with, is that it, and of course these are four FP, the plasma G, sorry. Plasma Gs are FP. Unlike the regular IC tournament cruiser, which is LPRP, which overall I like that arrangement personally, as a person who's ever played a plasma arm ship, is that I prefer that over the FPs, and this is the reason why. That means I have the ability that when I'm running away, I have the ability to still launch my plasmas. Now, obviously, the difficult part about LPRP is that they have cross arcs. So you can have them both launch the same target at the same time, but it takes more work. Versus if you have two FPs, you have the whole front half arc to launch your two plasmas at the same time. How's the PPD as a weapon? Chris asks. PPD can be a pain.
It's one of those weapons that takes a little bit of finesse to get it right in the zone, and it's easy for your opponent to mess with that. You get, I think it's up to four pulses with a standard charge, and if your opponent can get you out of arc, you lose any extra pulses. And you only get one pulse per impulse on successive impulses. Now, you can overload a PPD, but if he gets outside of range 8 or gets out of arc, you've lost everything, and he's got to commit to overloading before firing.
And then there's the myopic zone.
Right. Yeah, he can get inside the myopic zone. He can turn around and, well, that's a double whammy. You're no longer hurting him. And he's closer, so his weapons are going to hurt you worse.
True. But at the same time, you're closer too, so your weapons will hurt him. This is, you know, pretty bad too. But Yeah, the PBD can be. I've never actually played with it, meaning I've never flown a ship with a PBD. Because, I said, it's a pain. You can fly it, and it's the one thing that as an opponent, when I get hit with the PBD, I don't. It gets annoying because of each. It's like they're hammering you and hammering you and hammering you. PBD is the ultimate weapon for Mizzia. Because after you hit, boom, he hits you. He's gonna keep hitting you every single turn for the next. At least, depends upon if you do. You can do an underload, but most probably it's gonna be for the next three impulses. In which case, yes, you can turn your ship to have the main component. In this case, like usually it's 4 points of damage to a different shield. But remember, that's if you don't turn, that's 16 points of damage at range 10 against one shield. And then an additional 4 points of damage to the other adjacent shields. So, oh, sorry. Sorry, Chris. Myopic zone is range 3 or closer. See right here where it goes
That's what
zero, zero,
makes
zero.
that's what makes it so difficult with the PPD, because if you overload, you lose anything outside of range 8, and if he gets to range 3, you also lose.
Yep. And I forget if you can overload while it's pulsing. I don't think you can, but I had to double check the rules on that
You
because.
have to you have as I recall, you can specifically allocate an underloaded shot, and
Right.
you can add reserve power up to standard load. But if you want to fire overloaded pulses at all, you have to commit to that before you begin firing.
Okay.
That's my recollection of it.
And Jeff, I will defer to you and your recollection, because I could probably look it up, but just I don't think it. I think you what you said is true, because that makes sense, and I think that is overall correct. So, the big thing, obviously, with this ship is going to be power. It's got close to the same armament of the IC tournament ship, the normal one. But the minimum cruiser, okay, we got 24 warp, 4 impulse, that makes it 28, and 4 APR, so 32. So you got 32 power versus I think the IC tournament cruiser has 38. So
30 warp boxes of warp versus 24 boxes of warp, and not a significant decrease in weapons output. Yeah, this one's going to be short on power.
yep. Okay, and then you have, and then if you want to, you got the PBD, you got the plasma Gs, which you can hold and you can play tricks with that. But then if you ever have to recharge the plasma Fs, you're in trouble. Though I don't, to be honest, with the plasma Fs, I don't think it has actually. I think there's four plasma Fs, and I think the tournament cruiser has only two. Let me just double check here because I know it's close by. Da, 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 da. And there's the Saltorian. There it is. Yeah, it's got two plasma Fs, the regular tournament cruiser. Now, which means what you would probably be doing with the medium cruiser is that for at least two of the plasma Fs, what you'd probably do is just launch them, and you might recharge those, but you won't recharge the next ones. So, or you want to, you cannot. Don't recharge the first ones you launch. It's not until you launch the second ones that you want to recharge those. So.
Unless they've changed the tournament rules on plasma, you also have the 8 impulse grace period after the weapon system's destroyed to fire a charged weapon.
That is correct.
So you could actually use that second pair of plasma Fs as armor, so to speak.
Yep. Oh yeah, and you still have the for when it comes to the DAC, the third heavy weapon that gets hit has to be your best weapon, which actually, if I call correctly, the PPD is considered your best weapon in this category.
Yes.
So no matter how many, how, you know, you got more heavy weapons, but unfortunately, you still lose your PPD on the third internal. So moving on to word to something of a strange fellow, the Frax. And does this have, I mean, let's look something. And no, I don't see it. Okay. The Frax are definitely a weird ship because of disruptors are FX arc and RX arc. So yes, you can fire all four disruptors on the same ship, but they have to be broadside. So you can't do them directly head. And this one, I was looking, what I was looking for was for the AFD system. This, and this is, does not have the AFD system. It just has the two drone racks and has the disruptors and, of course, the phasers. And the phasers, again, wow. That's
yeah,
nice.
an alpha strike, a broadside alpha strike of eight phaser ones, four disruptors, and you still have drones to throw at the guy to make him sweat, and you still even have phaser threes you can hold back for anything on your own. The Frax ship is everything it's advertised to be, something you want to attack on the center line. It's one of the weird ships that you actually want to roll up the one or the four and mm-hmm. not let it have an oblique angle.
Right. Oh, understood. To me, here's the difficult part about this, and it's just because of you're fighting broadside, which is, again, it's like the Andromeda. It's one of those abnormal things that you have to put your head around, which is on your attack, you're gonna be heading towards them using your shield number one, but you can't fire. In theory, you can, but you wouldn't want to. So it's not until you turn to at the very least an oblique angle, so you get to the oblique, you're not gonna fire until you get to the oblique. So for an opponent, he has no reason, only reason he has to fire at either your phaser, shield number one or shield number four at all is so that if you're coming towards him or you're running away from him, you are gonna be getting internals. But the thing is, the Frax, most part, don't care. They care about their side shields because that's where they're gonna be fighting through. So, you know, obviously the difficult part about fighting through the side shields, again, is that you want to come flying directly at the guy. And here's the thing. Unless it's Frax on Frax, you know, Civil War, you've got your opponent who wants to come directly at you, and you want to do a broadside to him. And, of course, if you're doing broadside, what's the problem with broadside? The problem with broadside attacks is that he's coming. His weapons are at the front. So what he can do is he can keep running and come up behind you because you automatically have to already be turned to fire. So that means
you have to turn to engage, which means you telegraph what you're doing.
Right, and also,
which means, yeah, the other side of it is that, and this is power management for this particular ship, is with the 30 boxes of warp, 6 of impulse, and does it have any APR? Just 3 boxes of APR. This thing's going to fight a lot like a photon ship, because after you throw one broadside at the guy, you're going to have to spend almost a whole turn's worth of energy to turn around and refill your 10-point phaser capacitor.
Yeah, well, if you want to, but you know, as Yeah, in addition, as you said, you know, it telegraphs your intention, but also to the point, which is, you give up position, because you're flying past him, and yes, you get to fire basically out your butt, you know, as you're running away, but that also can be a problem because he's going to be coming right at you. He's going to follow you. Obviously, you want to knock down his front shield so he won't follow you. Or his shine shield, you know, shield number 6 or shield number 2. Not the same thing. So that, you know, if he turns in towards you, you know, you've got him.
Yeah, you got to have ice water in your veins to fly this and not give away too soon and turn around and put you in a position where you're going to give up your punch just to let him get a cheap shot in on you. It's just one of those ones that it looks really good on paper until you try to figure out how you're going to get boxed in by your opponent who's halfway competent.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. I'm going to mention one really quick, and then I think we'll call it close for this evening, because I've seen some of these other ones which are just kind of weird. As if this one's weird enough. And I've actually flown against this, and I hate it. And for those of you who have ever flown the simulator races, the Module C4, that is the Flivver. The Flivver is a very interesting ship in that it's got what's called hyper drones. These are drones that go speed 64. Actually, no, speed. I think they go greater than speed 64. They basically take two, they can take, I forget, they jump, I forget what the range is. I think it's, I want to say range 20 at the moment. I'm doing this from memory, so if I got this wrong, I apologize. They jumped out to 20. If you're closer than 20, they're hyper drones. They will hit you the same turn that they're launched. If they are farther than 20, they will hit you the next impulse. And they can keep firing and firing and firing. That's why I hate this, because when the Andromeda is, I ran out of phasers, and they just kept on beating on my PA panels at that point. And also the Flivver, if I recall correctly, they have what's called hover warp. So it can then move the ship so that it sideslips in any direction. So it kind of hovers. It can do that after it moves. So it's a pain in the butt. Now, I forget how much the hyper drones do. How much? Yeah, I think it's XP. I forget how much damage a hyper drone does, but I know it does quite a bit. I'm doing this from memory, and I want to say that it does 10 points of damage. I think it might do 10. Might be less. I forget, to be honest. But against a ship that has not many phasers, this is a pain ship. If you have lots of phasers, you don't got much to worry about with the hyper drones. Yes, you know, he can keep firing at you, and he'll beat the crap out of you. He won't beat the crap out of you. You'll keep him firing at you, and just keep on knocking him off. And then you can have your shields and so forth. This ship is not. I think against a Klingon. I think Klingon would wipe the Flivver, you know, off the map. Yeah. Dave, I'm pretty sure 20 hexes per impulse. Now, remember, I'm remembering this from like 10 years ago. So if I get it wrong, I apologize. But anyway, I think it's a really strange ship. It's another one of the ships that I'm not quite sure that it could ever really match a normal ship. The you know, it's one of the simulated races. The whole idea is to think differently. Think about tactics a little differently from the normal tactics you're used to, just like the sharks. Shark hunters in C4, which is, to me, they're a very interesting empire, in that the shark hunters would, you know, they fly the I think it's the plasma, I think it's that they have, that's fly by wire. So they can go wherever they want to go. You know. And the whole idea is that the shark hunters were used as a simulator race in the Romulan Academy. So it's like, okay, wait, what happens if your cloaking device won't protect you? You know, he can fly by wire. He knows where you are and go bloop. And what happens now, smarty? You know, that's all. That was the whole idea of the academies and some of the simulator races, is to think outside the box. Think, what happens if the ship, in the case like the Frax, what happens if you have a ship that no longer doesn't fire directly ahead or directly behind, that all its weapons are to the sides? What do you do now? So, I think with that, we will wrap it up for this evening. Actually, let me just look at this one quick. Oh, yeah. They have a couple more in here. Of course, you got the Andromedans. You got the Peladine. Have the Borak, which is weird. But, you know, maybe I'll talk about, and of course, also we have the Vudar, which actually is now considered a rated H ship. The Borak, I will come back to that at a later time. Because this is an interesting ship, but you know, maybe we'll finish this up next week to have a couple of these last weird ships to talk about. So Jeff, it's been a pleasure having you around, and
sure.
Thank you for coming.
Have a good evening.
You too. Okay, bye. So, we got through quite a few of the alternate tournament ships this evening. I hope you guys enjoyed some thinking about the ultimate tournament ship. And if you don't already have it, again, module T2012. At the very least, get the SSDs. You can get those from Warehouse 23, you know, War Game Vault, or DriveThruRPG. At the moment, I trust Warehouse 23 heck of a lot better, more than the other two. What's the problem? I think it was War Game Vault. No. DriveThruRPG, that was the one where they lost my credit card. Someone broke in, and so it's like, okay, well, I only bought the one thing. I think that was for Mech Warrior. I think it's where I got MechWarrior stuff. And I have not bought anything from them since. It's not because I didn't trust them. It's just that I have no need. Because most of my stuff I buy is ADB stuff. Haven't bought any MechWarrior stuff for a while. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.